Hi everyone. If you don't know me, I'm Daniel. I am originally from Huddersfield in England.
Where?
Huddersfield, a place called Yorkshire. And lived in Scotland, studied in Scotland, but currently live in a city called Leicester in England. I've been there for 2 years. I'm married to Lisa in the doorway there, and we have our 14-month-old Elizabeth with us. We work with the Navigators in Leicester, work with university students. So that's just a little bit about me. So I've been given this talk of suffering, which might be hard to think about when we are in such an idyllic setting as this. It might be hard to think of the world as a broken and difficult place filled with pain. Or we may understand suffering all the more while we're here, because we realise the mighty contrast of this wonderful place compared to the difficult lives we may be leading back home. But either way, we cannot deny the messed up nature of life. There is pain, there is suffering in the world. Now, I don't know what your attitude is towards this. Maybe you adopt a blasé stance. Oh, it's life. Stuff happens. Get on with it. Don't cry. Move on. Or maybe you do have a deep emotional understanding that suffering and pain is not supposed to exist. It's not supposed to be a part of this world. Now, the biblical narrative would tell us that it's not a part of God's original plan. It's not a part of creation. In Genesis, we see that God made a perfect world where everything was at peace with everything else. We lived in harmony with creation, and it lived in harmony with us. Until one day, death, pain, sorrow, all entered the world. But God doesn't leave us there. He wants to take that away from us. He wants to take away pain and sorrow. God promises in Scripture that suffering will end in new creation. It will end in heaven. That we will have to suffer no more. Now, the book of Revelation is a great place to look for this kind of promise, this hope that is to come. Now, you may think, oh, but the book of Revelation was written as a series of letters to a group of churches many thousands of years ago. How on earth can that apply to me? But God promises to those churches back then who were under persecution, they were going through a difficult time. The promises that God makes to them is of a kingdom to come in the future that is for all followers of Jesus, not just them. So that includes us in this room. He promises that pain and suffering will not exist. But how can that truth impact us now? Can it at all? Well, that's what I hope to do today, to help us to think about that. But before we do, I want us just to think a little bit about what we mean by pain and suffering. So the title is No More Pain, but I'm going to use the word suffering a lot because I think there's more to this world than just pain, physically or emotionally. So I'm going to probably use suffering instead, so I hope that makes sense to you guys. So in your quiet time questions this morning, I asked you to think a little bit about what springs to mind when you hear that word or see that word, suffering. What images come to your head? It's probably going to be different for everyone in the room, but I'm just going to give you my perspective, which may fit with UK culture or Western culture. So I'm sorry if this doesn't match exactly with where you guys are at, but it's just an example, okay? So for me, when I think of suffering, I perhaps think of people who, sorry if you can't really see the picture, with severe illness. So this is someone in a hospital bed. They are wired into various machines. They have lots of different drugs helping to take away pain from their bodies. They don't really have an amazing standard of living. They are bedbound. It's quite easy for me to look at someone like that and say they're suffering. They're in a bad place. That's not how it's supposed to be. I also may think of people who are in a place of poverty, destitution, if you know that word, where people have nothing to their name. Homelessness is a big issue within the UK, a theme that we were talking about yesterday from Beth. And maybe I also think of people in countries who are torn apart by war or natural disaster. I mean, this image could be either. There's a boy sat in a pile of rubble who's obviously had his house taken from him, his family maybe. He is obviously in a place of suffering. It's not difficult for me to see that as true. So to me, the way I look at it is there's almost a bar, a line, as it were, in which if you fall under that line, then you're seen to suffer. You're seen as someone who is in a difficult place. But if you're above that line, then you're okay. You're fine. Everything's okay for you. Now, I don't want to take away or belittle from those situations I've just mentioned. Those people are in a bad place in their lives and they are definitely suffering. I want to just make that clear. But what I want to, why I'm using that as an example is if we hold on to our view, our opinion of what suffering is, then we're missing out on something. I think that we tend to put pain we define it, we put it in a box, we put it under a line so that we separate ourselves from the reality that the world is broken. We push it away from us, we say suffering is out there. It's in those countries, it's in that person's life, it's not in mine. And that can be okay. But the issue is if we separate ourselves from the topic or the reality of suffering, then we're also separating ourselves from the promise that God will one day remove it from the world. It becomes some nice words in the Bible for other people, not for me. And you may think that's okay, we don't have a problem with that. We can still go to people in these extreme situations and tell them, it's okay, one day God will take away your pain, he will take away your suffering. But how does that sound to them from our seemingly privileged position? If we go to people thinking, we're okay, this promise doesn't relate to me, I'm not in any pain, I'm not struggling at all, but you are, I come to you with this message of hope. Rather than having a powerful impact and bringing the gospel to people that we would hope it to, it probably has a bit of a negative impact and people respond in a bad way. It's all right for you. You're over there in your Western, very comfy world. Look at me down here. How can you give me a message of hope? You don't even need that message of hope. It becomes belittling and meaningless. So what's our solution to that? Well, God is the one who has promised to take suffering away from the world. So why don't we let him define what that means? So back to the book of Revelation. I have a verse for us to look at. So I'll just read it quickly. It says, so this is Revelation chapter 21 verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So let's just think about that verse a little bit. What does it say? Does it say God will only take away the pain for people in poverty, in hospital beds, in war-torn countries? Does he define it like that? Well, he says actually there's no more pain, no death, all of it's gone. And that means even the stuff in our lives will be gone too. The pain in our lives will disappear. If I take this more biblical, godly perspective of what it means to suffer, and I look at my life, and I filter my life through this new perspective, I definitely fit into the category of suffering, of pain. I think of my parents separating when I was 9, and the emotional pain that has caused me over my life and continues to cause me. That would probably be included in God's view of what it means to suffer. 3 years ago, this coming September, my wife and I found out that we were pregnant and we were full of joy. But a week later, we suffered a miscarriage. We lost our child. And there was a lot of tears back then, and there still are. And it's not just the past pains that I've gone through that's included in God's idea of suffering, or even my present situation, but my future as well. I look ahead and I think of the inevitable friends and family that I will lose to death. And my body will decay, and not gracefully. You see, we have to remember that heaven, new creation, this thing that's in the future, is so perfect. It's so amazing that any pain, any difficult situation, no matter how insignificant it may seem to us in comparison to other people, is a big deal to God. And he wants to take it away. In fact, he promises to take it away. God cares about me, and he cares about you. Now, I don't want this to become a self-centered, self-focused exercise if it's all about me and my problems. But I do believe that if we want to go out into the world, into these extreme situations, to care for people well, to give them a hope that suffering will one day end, that we need to know that God cares for our struggles too. God loves us, and he loves us so that we can love others. So we need to adopt that new, more biblical perspective of suffering. It's not this stuff over here, but it's relevant to me. And just before I begin to talk about how that truth that one day suffering will end has an impact in the here and now, I want us to just be reminded that this has been a promise of God. The Bible is full of, especially in the Old Testament, of where God reminds his people of what he has done for them in the past. He usually lays out a promise to them. He says, I'm going to do this. This will happen. And he says, because remember what's happened before. I delivered you out of the desert. I have brought you to the promised land. So trust me now. In Deuteronomy 8, he makes a promise. You will enter the promised land. And he says, remember how the Lord has led you so far. Psalm 77, David is saying, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Psalm 105, again, remember the wonders he has done. So God has promised this. And because we can trust him because of what he has done in the past, we can be absolutely 100% certain guaranteed that this will happen. One day, new creation will happen and we will suffer no more pain. So we have to remember that. But this isn't just a future promise. And I think this is where we begin to see how this is going to have an impact in our daily lives now. Jesus says at the beginning of his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It's near. It's touchable. It's present in this very moment. If we remember the tick diagram that Steve talked about a couple of days ago, we are in this strange place in the biblical story where Jesus has died and has risen again, but new creation is still in the future. We're in this middle point. Now, new creation is the completion of God's restoration, but it began on the cross with Jesus, and it is being worked out now by the Holy Spirit. God's kingdom, even though in the future, is having an impact now, is transforming us now as well as in the future. So, what does this mean? How can it help us? What are we supposed to do with this truth? If I could get someone to read James 1 verse 12, you can either read it from there or if you prefer to do it in your own version, that's fine. Just give me a break.
Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord promised to those who love him.
Great, thanks, Connor. So our first reality that we can adopt now in the present is that we can persevere and endure. So imagine you're going through a hard time. Maybe you are right now. I don't know. But you know 100% that one day that difficult situation will finish. You may even know the exact day that it'll finish. It might be a university course or an assignment you have, and you've got a deadline, and you know that you're struggling through it, and it's difficult, but you know that it will finish, it'll end. How does the truth that it will end impact your attitude to the situation in the present? Does knowing that it will finish, does it help you get through it? An example from our lives is, Elizabeth has a lot of teeth so far. She has quite a lot for her age. She has 12 out of 20. But teething isn't a very nice thing for her or for us. She tends to be in a lot of pain, and it means that we have a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of medicine and a grumpy baby. And yeah, it's not easy. But we know she only is going to get 20 teeth. And she's on 12. It's like, come on, we're nearly there. One day it will finish. And it really does help us to get, like, every time she has a new one, it's like, oh, another one. All right, come on, let's keep going. When we're up at 4 in the morning and we're exhausted, knowing that one day we won't have to go through that again with Elizabeth is really helpful. But it's not just about, as we see here in this verse, it's not just about the fact that it'll end. But actually, James tells us that one day there's something better on the other side. It says the person will receive the crown of life. So it's not just, oh, one day your trial will finish and you can just carry on with life. But actually there's something wonderful on the other side in new creation that we can look forward to. And that might fit more into what Jez might talk about in a couple of days. So my second point, my second kind of impact, as it were, is that we can find joy in suffering. Now, this is the kind of next step up in our faith journey. It's okay to persevere, to get through, but to find joy in suffering, what does that mean? Does it mean we go, when we've hurt ourselves, we can just laugh it off and be like, oh, this is wonderful? Well, no, I don't think that's what it necessarily means. So I've got three bits of scripture here. I'll just read two of them. Can someone read Romans 5 for me? And if someone can read the 1 Peter 1.
Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope.
In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Thank you. So we see in Scripture that there's more power to this hope than just helping us cope with suffering and getting through it. But we can get to a place where we experience joy. So I mean being joyful in the midst of the suffering of the difficult situation. I'm not thinking about, oh, I'm thankful for what I do have. Like, even though I don't have this and this is all difficult, it's okay because I've still got the roof over my head, I've still got this. That's not necessarily what it means. But it's about being able to find joy in the difficulty. Now, how can we do this? Why? Well, you see, God tells us that in heaven suffering will disappear, but God is able to use the present suffering and difficulty, and he's able to redeem that in the present moment. He's able to somehow make good of this horrible, broken world. And that might be helping us to mature and grow into being more like his son Jesus. Helps us to, if we go through a difficult situation when we're younger, we're able to deal with maybe more difficult situations in the future because of what we've learnt in the past. God is able to somehow, in his wonderful way, take this difficult thing and make it joyful, make it good. I'll give you an example to help flesh this out a little bit. As a student I meet with in Leicester who a few months ago was having a difficult situation with his exams. He felt like he'd really fluffed up on one of the areas of his exam, felt like he'd just done really badly. And it was causing him a lot of stress and anxiety. But through this struggle, God used it to teach him about where he had his value. Where was he finding his identity? Was it in his performance and how well he did in exams? Or was it based in God, having his identity in him? And when the student realised that God was teaching him this lesson through the difficult situation, and I was really amazed that he was able to do this, he was actually quite thankful for going through this difficulty. Because he said, oh, God is teaching me something about himself. God is teaching me that I need to find my value in him, my identity in him, and not in my success as a student. And I'm thankful that I'm learning that now, rather than 10, 20 years in the future. He can go through other aspects of life now with it already having learned a little bit that lesson. Okay, not too much longer. My third point, and I think probably the most difficult for us to kind of adopt. So remember, we're talking about how the truth that one day heaven, there'll be no more pain and suffering, has an impact now, because it can, is actually we can welcome suffering into our lives. We can seek to share in suffering. So Philippians 3:10-11, I love this verse from Paul, a bit of it's cut off. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Now, we know from Paul's life he went through some difficult situations, and he was able to find joy in them. But not only was he able to find joy in those things, but he was able to walk into other difficult situations in his life. Now, I don't necessarily mean we start praying to God, oh, please let me suffer, I really want to suffer, because that would just be a little bit weird. But it means that if we're able to persevere through difficult situations, if we're able to actually find joy in them, because God is able to use them for his purposes, then we're able to go where God wants us to go, even if that means entering into difficulty. So Beth talked a little bit yesterday about risk. We're able to take a little bit more risk because we're able to get through those difficult times. This may mean going to a different country and culture from your own, where it's hard to be a Christian, or maybe it's just hard to live altogether. Or maybe it means just having a conversation with your friend who isn't Christian, or who is a fervent atheist, knowing that talking to them about what you believe will actually make you ridiculed, and actually you'll feel a little bit rubbish about yourself, but actually you're able to step into that position knowing that you can endure it, and knowing that God is going to use it for your sake, for his kingdom, for his good purposes. Now, it may seem a little bit strange and a little bit difficult to suddenly desire to cross the world, to go to a different country or culture than your own, and to put yourself in harm's way, as it were, in order to spread the gospel. But I do believe that we all can get to that place. It starts with persevering through difficulty and learning how to do that. And we move on to finding joy in difficulty because of God's purposes in it. And finally, we're able to suddenly then walk into difficult situations. We're able to take up our cross. We're able to deny ourselves for the sake of advancing God's kingdom. Because we know that he will wipe away every tear. He will take away all sorrow and death. So, quick summary, and then I'm going to give you some questions. So, we need God's perspective on what it means to suffer. Because in order to reach people, to love people well, we need to know that God cares for us and our difficult situation. The fact that God has promised this gives this message a lot of power. And we know that it will happen. We remember that God's kingdom is at hand. It is happening now. It is breaking through now. And so we can grow and experience God's redemption in suffering. We're able to have an ability to persevere and endure, and then we're able to find joy in suffering because God is using it for his purposes, and then we're able to walk into difficult situations for the sake of the gospel. I'm going to pray first, and then I'll give you guys some questions. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. And we do see glimpses of your glory and what new creation will be like when we're in this amazing setting. Lord, we are so aware that this world is not as it should be, and it is broken, and there is pain and there's difficulty in our lives as well as the lives of others. Lord, speak to us now, please. And as we go into discussion groups, will you help us just to know that you love us and you care for us, and that you're able to use this world, this difficulty, you're able to redeem it for our sake and for your glory. Please, Lord, amen. Okay, so I don't have the questions up on a slide, so if you feel like you need to write them down, go ahead. So how do you deal with difficult situations when they come up? And why? Why do you deal with them that way? Why do you think? How do you see, if at all, that God has used difficult things in your life to shape and mould you? So how has God used difficult things in your life to shape and mould you? A shorter question, what does perseverance look like? And do you feel ready to walk into a difficult place for the sake of his kingdom? So group leaders, feel free to use them as you want to. Feel free to ignore them completely. Yeah.
Could you repeat the last question?
Yeah. Do you feel ready to walk into another difficult place for the sake of his kingdom?